You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC. And thanks again for joining the KMC podcast. I'm Tom Bump, and I'm looking forward to sharing this episode with you. We're going to be talking about God's Word and how to get kids into it, fall in love with it, and live it, ultimately. And so my special guest today is Keith Farron, a good friend. We met back a couple years ago, and I love his passion for God's Word. It's inspired me. It's challenged me. He does a yearly Bible reading challenge. I've done it a couple of times. Well, tried to do it a couple of times. I have to keep working on it. It's a good discipline, though. Good reminder every year. So, Keith, welcome to the KMC podcast.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So, you just came out with a little book in conjunction with Awana, and you've got a lot of great resources that we'll talk about at the end of the podcast. But this one is called 11 Ways to Help Kids Fall in Love with God's Word. And I thought, man, this would be a great episode. Because nowadays it just seems like it's a struggle, to get kids into the Word. And, I've noticed it even in my own ministry that, you know, of course now you've got kids hopefully carrying electronic versions, but you see less and less of them carrying a Bible into church. So, you know, it made me start thinking about what could I do as a leader? And I'm sure there are other leaders listening to the podcast that are wondering about how they can help kids get into the Word. And so you've written this book to just kind of give some insights and some tips of what we do. So I thought it'd be fun to talk about, and so our listeners could hear. So you start off with the first tip of just enjoying it yourself. And so what do you mean by enjoying it yourself? How can we learn to enjoy God's Word more?
Well, I think that's something that it really goes back to my story, in that I was a kid who grew up in the church, and I mean, I love Sunday school. I wasn't somebody you had to drag to church. I actually enjoyed it. And I love Sunday school, love summer camp as I got older, youth group and that kind of thing. But the Bible was really always that thing that I felt like I should do more. I should read it more. I should know it better. I should memorize verses, all that kind of thing. But I found that most people struggle the same, that what we feel like should be a want remains a should, and the move from should to want really doesn't ever happen. And I find that if it's something that you, even if you know it's beneficial, even if you know that the Bible's true, if you don't ever get to the place where you want to read it, then consistency will always be kind of a far off dream. And so it was something that happened to me back when I was a youth pastor. I was a youth pastor for 6 years or so back in the 90s in Tacoma, Washington, just south of Seattle. And I saw a guy in April of 93 who presented the Gospel of Luke from memory, and just kind of, it was like a storyteller. He didn't have any costumes or sets or props or anything. And he was quoting it. He wasn't just paraphrasing it.
Wow.
And it totally changed my perspective on the Bible. And I ended up talking to him afterwards, and he just talked about soaking in bigger chunks of scripture instead of just studying these little bits and a verse here and then a verse there and memorizing this and memorizing that over there. He said, well, just take a book of the Bible and read it over and over again until you know it. And I realized as I did that first with Philippians, and then in 94 did it with the Gospel of John. I just read the Gospel of John over and over again. That's the only thing I read for a year. And it was one of those things where I realized that much like when we just watch a movie over and over again, we end up knowing not only the storyline, but we even have much of the dialogue memorized word for word, having just saturated our lives in it. And I found that that's what had happened with me with the Bible, that as I read Philippians every day for a summer, I realized I knew pretty much the whole thing by heart. And then in 94, when I just wanted to internalize the Gospel of John, I just wanted to know it, what ended up happening is I ended up not only knowing it, but knowing it word for word. And so it was one of those things where I started in 96 doing with the Gospel of John what he did with Luke, and started presenting these pieces of scripture because I just saw how I was connecting with scripture, how other people were reacting to it. When we actually look at big chunks of it as opposed to just little bits of it, because I tell people a lot of the Bible study methodology out there is really it's kind of like we're studying the scenes of a movie we've never watched, right? And so we want to look at a book so we can say, oh, I know what Philippians 4:13 is about. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. But if somebody said, what's Philippians about? Could we even answer the question? And I would be like saying, well, this is what this line in this movie's about, but I can't tell you anything about the movie. And it's so backwards from how we learn anything else. We learn in our lives, we learn everything from the general to the specific, not from the specific to the specific to the specific. And yet we approach the Bible exactly the opposite of that, the specific to the specific to the specific. And we hope that it all fits together. And I find that moves us to, when we actually switch that around, that moves us to really help us enjoy the Bible. And I found that as I was reading big chunks of it, not only did I understand it more, not only did I remember it more, but I felt like I was having just more regular conversations with God, which really put me into a relational mindset. And I found that for the first time in my life, I was studying the Bible relationally, not just informationally. And that's become my passion, is to really help people move from should to want when it comes to the Bible, and to approach the Bible relationally, not just informationally, to actually have our primary purpose for going to the Bible to be to hang out with God, not to learn what he wants us to know so we can do what he wants us to do. And unfortunately, I feel like we as a church have kind of gotten into the habit of primarily making it about learning and knowing and quoting and reciting and memorizing. And we've told kids from a young age that Jesus wants a relationship, but then we don't talk about Bible reading as a relational time. The language we use is very informational in nature. And so that's really, I mean, the first, you know, this new book, 11 Ways to Help Your Kids Fall in Love with God's Word, is kind of 11 practical tips. It's really a gift book that's based on the 9 principles of passing on a love for God's word that I write about in my more kind of full length book. It's called Like Ice Cream. That is all
the title.
The title, because and that just comes from the, you know, my grandfather loved ice cream, my dad loved ice cream, I love ice cream, my kids love ice cream, but we never sat our kids down and told them why they should love ice cream, right? We didn't explain to them the benefits of ice cream. We did it together. And sometimes it was a big hot fudge sundae, and sometimes it was a scoop of vanilla, and sometimes we did it with friends, and sometimes we had it by ourselves. But it was always in the house. It was always part of life, and it was just integrated into life. So that's where that really comes from. The first principle in that book, and therefore the first tip in this kind of smaller gift book that just came out last month, is this idea of loving it ourselves, that our kids are going to do what they see us do. They're not going to do what we tell them to do.
Right. And so like the whole idea of loving ice cream, you know, your second tip really is something that I think not only can parents take to heart, but even us in kids ministry take it to heart. And that's saying we need to show them, they need to see us loving it. So obviously if our kids see us loving a bowl of ice cream, they ought to be seeing us love God's word. What can we do to show, to make that more apparent for our kids? What do you do?
Well, a few different things. And quite honestly, this is something where that is, I guess I want to make a distinction a little bit between a principle and a step. A lot of times we want these steps of, oh, do this and then do this and then do this. And then it just happens. But what I find is in different situations and in different ages of our kids and different temperaments and personalities of our kids, I think that principles get fleshed out in different ways. So principles kind of are the, you know, I talk about the difference is that there's a principle of of healthy living and exercise and eating right and that kind of thing. And then there are the steps of here's how to train for a marathon, or here's how to prepare a healthy meal or whatever. And really that second, what I have listed here, a second tip, is really this principle of letting them see us enjoy it. And so what for me, it really boils down to, as my kids are at different ages, what is it that they can see in me? Do they see me actually reading the word? It used to be that when my kids were at home more, when they were a lot younger, I would, you know, because I always get up early. That's the only time with a, you know, with three school-age children, early morning is the only time that's ever quiet in my house. So, yeah. So it's something where, for me, I just had to kind of make the morning time the time for me. So I get up early, and it used to be that I would just time it so that I would be reading my Bible until my first kid woke up, and they would come down and they would see every day, okay, this is, you know, this is where Dad is. This is what he does. And now that I've got kids in two different schools with start times that are close to an hour apart, that can't always happen. And so I can't always be sitting on the couch when one of them comes down, because oftentimes I'm the one going upstairs to wake them up. So instead of, I mean, just some little things, like instead of putting my Bible study stuff away when I'm done, I actually leave it spread out and just leave it there, so that even there's just that little tiny reinforcement of, oh, Dad was in the Word today. And they come down and they're getting ready for breakfast and they just see it there. And some of it is the bringing it up in regular conversation. I think sometimes we relegate the discussions about the Bible to either Sunday school or youth group or Sunday morning worship services or family devotions. Mm-hmm. And yet we will talk about a sporting event or a movie that we saw or a book that we're reading or a funny video clip we saw anytime. We'll weave it into a conversation at the dinner table or when we're walking to school or when we're in the car or whatever. And so I think sometimes while it is vitally important and very valuable to have focused, intentional times that we set apart for the reading and studying and discussion of God's word, mm-hmm. I also think that things that we love, we set aside time for and we talk about naturally, right? It's right. Both.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I can set aside a time to watch a football game and get together with some friends and intentionally spend time hanging out together watching football. Well, yeah. It's also not difficult for me to bring it up in a conversation in the car or whatever. It's not like the only time I ever talk about football is when the Seahawks are actually playing, right? That's
yeah, right.
And yet sometimes I feel like we have this little bit of a disconnect and we're subtly sending this message to our kids that the Bible is something that is other. It is something that, yes, it's special, but we make it only special, right? We make it only something we do at another time. It's not right. Something that we do in regular everyday life. And I think when our kids see us bringing it up in conversation, you know, do we have a conversation about homelessness or generosity or whatever, when we're in the car and we drive past somebody on the street corners holding a sign? Right. Do we mm-hmm. do we bring that into conversation? Because our kids are so connected now with the things that are important to them that it makes sense to connect the Bible to everyday life.
Right. It's really taking advantage of Deuteronomy 6 of, you know, when you walk along the road, when you're sitting down, it's really just kind of encouraging us to say, look, leverage the times. You know, you don't have to just set, like you said, set a time.
Absolutely.
It's only on Sunday. It's any time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's ironically that, I mean, Deuteronomy 6, one, I mean, tying together the last topic we talked about in this one, Deuteronomy 6, that passage that gets quoted in children's ministry all the time,
yeah.
And where it's, you know, where it starts out with, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. We also in children's ministry quote a couple verses later when it says, impress them on your children. But right. We don't frequently talk about the one in between those two, which is these words that I give you today are to be upon your hearts, right? This idea of loving yes. it ourselves and enjoying it ourselves is like the foundational piece. And then
right.
when he actually when he actually does say, when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up, well, the four specific times when he lays it out are, none of them are church.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Moses' assumption was, well, of course we're going to talk about it at the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. Of course. But that's not enough.
Yeah.
And so he brings up, yeah, when you're walking along the road, when you're at home, when you're hanging out, when you, what about early in the morning, when you get up, when you lie down, what about light at night? Do we ever read a blessing over our kids, or do we, you know? Right. So I think that some of that making it normal, and that's, you know, a lot of what I've just answered really ties much more to the parent than the kidmin leader. I think that with the kidmin leader, I think it's something that to some of it is really even how we read the Bible. Sadly, I think that sometimes the Bible reading or Bible story portion of a Sunday morning or a youth group event or a sermon, sadly, I think that is frequently the most boring part of the hour, the actual reading of Scripture. Because I think and some of it comes to expectation. I think that we expect the Bible to be true. We expect to learn something, but we don't expect it to be good. And I think that some of it from a Kidman leader standpoint is, hey, when we're reading the Bible, do we read it with passion and emotion and energy? I tell people all the time, read the Bible like you're reading Curious George to a 5-year-old and watch what happens. You know, with just that amount of emotion and energy, and you know, and for kidmin leaders, especially youth leaders and stuff, I think if they can send a kid a text or shoot them a note or send an email or a Facebook message or put something on Twitter that just lets them know, hey, here is an adult who's actually thinking about the Bible when he or she doesn't have to teach it.
Right.
I think that kind of those are little seeds that get planted in the mind of a kid.
Yeah. Cause I'm sure some leaders are listening and they're, you know, you think about, we only have kids in our group or youth in our group for really only, you know, a couple hours a month. If you look at it on a monthly thing, but you know, if you get them 1 hour a week, or, you know, I mean, now if you know, the way things go, it seems like the average church attendance is every other week.
Right.
So you're getting them 2 hours out of the month. So what are some
and I'm from Seattle, which means that the average is actually once a month.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what can we help? I mean, what are some other things that a leader could do? I mean, you mentioned, you know, like sending a text and thing. Is there some other things that you've found that have some good impact when it comes to helping youth and kids foster that desire?
Yeah, I think that, some of it I mentioned in the way in which we read and talk about the Bible during the hour. But then I also think there is something about, and this ties into some of what we've already said, but I think that as a leader, if you can share in normal conversation in the hallway of church, or when you run into them at the grocery store, if there's something that you can share that you are excited about in the Bible, that you read in the Bible that stood out to you, that was really cool, or a person in the Bible that you've just been exploring or whatever. If you can talk about something in the Bible at a time when you're not teaching the kid that thing, that I think that just reinforces that, hey, this guy actually really likes the Bible because he doesn't just talk about it when he's got to teach me something about it.
Right.
And so I think that if the leader has a vibrant relationship with God and time in the Word, then and you are noticing things, then you know there's got to be some intentionality around it. But how do we weave that into everyday conversation? How do we, when we see a kid, just say, hey, you know, sometimes I mentioned to my son Caleb, I say, oh yeah, I was just, you know, reading. In Numbers, the passage about your mom and I came up with your name, kind of fun. And it always, it's not like we have a big long conversation about it. It's just something, but it makes them smile, right?
Mm-hmm.
If, it just reminding a kid, when you see a kid that's got a biblical name, to, hey, I looked up where your name comes from. You know what your name means? You know, whatever. And just little things like that, that just take the Bible out of, this is only something to be taught. I think that then lays a bit of a foundation for when it is time to teach it. And then, so it's a combination of that, having a vibrant relationship yourself, bringing that into everyday conversation, maybe sending somebody a note that actually ties in the word to what it is that you're thinking about them. So if there's some compliment or some note that you're writing to a kid or a parent, or sending that something that isn't necessarily, doesn't necessarily have to be tied to the Bible, but you tie the Bible into it, will reinforce that this positive encouragement, this reinforcement, this compliment, I saw something about the Bible at the same time. It reinforces those feelings of the Bible is cool. The Bible, I associate the Bible with something good, right?
Yeah.
And so I think, and then how we go about teaching it for sure is a piece of it too. So.
Yeah, we definitely, I've always said it for years, you know, to me, a cardinal sin is if we make the Bible boring when we're teaching it, you know, let's open our Bible and let's read. I've told people the story of how, you know, and I love my in-laws, but I remember when I was dating my girlfriend at the time, after my wife, and how every night they sat down and they opened up their Bibles and they sat and they read. And they tried to talk about it with them, but I, you know, watching my wife, my girlfriend and her brother at the time, oftentimes, you know, even my eyes probably were a little glazed over. And it was like, okay. Of course, it probably wasn't helping that, you know, they were reading Song of Solomon or something, and then I was really embarrassed or something. They literally read from cover to cover, and I was there one night when they took that passage, and I was like, okay, this is awkward.
Right, no doubt.
But
was your father-in-law sitting next to his gun cabinet?
I'm sure there was one not far away. Let me put it that way. he was an avid one for those things too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was on my best behavior. That's for sure. Sure. And maybe that's why he was reading. I don't know to make the point that you better behave and you better treat my daughter with respect. But,
right.
To get to your point, I think we really got to think through how we're presenting God's living, breathing word and not put it on life support. We need to let it breathe and let it be alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. Sometimes I think we present it as a dull blade, and it's no wonder some kids don't, you know, want to look at it. And I loved when you said earlier about the relationship thing. We were just going through an Arowana club, and the older kids group, the TNT group, we were talking about why studying God's word is so important. And I said, you know, guys, I hope you'll get to a point. I said, there may be times right now where you're feeling like you need the Bible, you have to memorize. I said, I hope you'll get to the point of going, I get to do this because this is where I spend time with Jesus. And I said, you know, guys, there's times for me that, yeah, sometimes it is hard and it feels a little more chore-like, but there's so many other times where I get these aha moments. And it just so happened that I happened to be talking to one of the leaders beforehand, and she was sharing this new insight she got about the mustard seed verse, and about moving the mountain and having that faith. And she said, I realized it wasn't just a literal mountain. Jesus was even thinking about the problems we have that feel like mountains. And she said, all of a sudden I realized that if I have that faith in God to say, God, this is bigger, you know, this problem isn't bigger than you, you're bigger than it, and I can give this to you and you can move it. She said, it just all of a sudden just freed me from saying, and I was watching the kids and it was just like, wow, Miss Meredith, you know, that was cool. So You know, absolutely. I agree. I think that's huge. If we can, if we're going to foster that desire, we got to let it breathe into us and definitely don't bore them with it or right. beat them over the head with it. And this is wrong. Right. So, you know, we try to have fun in so many other elements, especially in kids ministry. We're always trying to make it entertaining. It's not that we have to make the Bible entertaining, but we just have to show that it's alive. And that, I mean, there's some really cool stories in the Bible anyway. So, it's part of why I got into being a kids pastor, because I loved the stories. I loved visualizing them in my head, what it would have been like, for David and his mighty men, you know, watching that guy walk through the lentils and taking down all those Philistines by himself. And he had to pry his hand off the sword, you know, I mean, that was just cool.
Yeah.
To a kid like me. And fortunately I had a Bible teacher that made those kind of things come alive. I remember teaching that. This guy taught it to us, and he had us squeeze these plastic swords, just hold them the entire time he was reading about it. And I'll never forget this. It was so real in my mind. It's part of why I teach object lesson stuff. But he had us squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it to the point where he's like, okay, now drop the sword. And we're like, I can't open my hand because we had squeezed it so tight. And he made that come alive for us. And I mean, that's a story I'll never forget. Thanks to him doing those kind of things. So, well, that kind of leads me into the next question I had for you is, so what are some of the common obstacles? I mean, today's generation is so different than any other generation, being so wired in things. Mm-hmm. What do you see as some of the common obstacles that, you know, we struggle with getting kids into the Word with?
Well, I think the biggest obstacle is the way in which we talk about it that puts the Bible in a very informational mindset. You already talked about kind of how that idea of relational Bible study connected with you. And I think that's a big piece of it, is the more that we talk about the Bible as a textbook, the more that we talk about the Bible. I mean, I know that the two analogies that were used all the time when I was a kid is they use the acronym for Bible of basic instructions before leaving Earth. You know, you may have heard that.
That's exciting.
And probably the most common analogy that gets used and has been used for decades is the idea of the Bible as an owner's manual. It's like the owner's manual of your car that shows you how to live. And I'm like,
and how many people have read their owner's manual?
Right. And I'm glad I've got an owner's manual when I need to figure out what the size is of the light bulb or how something connects, or I need to figure something out. But I only go to the owner's manual for information, right? Mm. I've never had any desire whatsoever to meet the person who wrote it.
Right.
Never.
Wow.
Let alone fall in love with them. Right. And so I think that it's one of those things where when I hear people use that analogy, I'm like, we're subtly putting these ideas in kids' head that the Bible is there to teach us how to live. And I think the irony is that the more relational we approach the Bible, the more we talk about the Bible as time with God, as a chance to connect with our Creator, the more that a child sees the Bible reading as time to really get to know who God is and who they are in Christ, the more that they will actually learn, the more that they will actually retain, the more that they will actually receive that correction or that comfort or that encouragement or whatever. I mean, because if you look at the people in your life that have been, that you have learned the most from, that you have been able to correct you and challenge you and encourage you and comfort you and inspire you, they're most likely people that you have been in close relationship with. Yeah. They're not people that you just, every single time you got together with them, they had to teach you something. And so I think one of the big obstacles is the way that we as adults talk about the Bible. So I think that's one of the obstacles. Another obstacle is, quite honestly, just the busyness of life. And that's a tough one to deal with. And honestly, I've got two middle schoolers and an elementary school kid. My wife teaches elementary school, and I'm writing and traveling and speaking. And so I understand the whole busyness, crazy schedule. And I'd be lying to you if I said, oh, every single day, the Farron family figures out a time when all five of us can sit down and read the Word together and talk about it. there are times when it's just, it's a passing thought, or it's a one verse thing while we're in the car on our way to school or whatever. It's not always a great conversation, but, and because of the busyness of life and the busyness of schedules and practices and clubs and all those different kinds of things, as well as youth group and homework. And I mean, kids have way more homework than we ever had,
right,
growing up, for sure. And so it's, I think it's one of those things where we have to become more intentional about having conversations with our kids about the word. Because I think one of those obstacles is it just becomes very, very easy to let the busyness and the social media and the movies and the TV shows, and we just allow so many things to be in our lives that if we don't put some intentionality around devoting some time to the word, as well as taking some of those times when we're in the car and leaving the radio off so we can have a conversation, or, you know, plugging in our cell phones at whatever time at night so that there's an hour or two when you're up and you're all home, but you're not watching something or doing, I just think that schedule, you know, our own approach to it, our own way we talk about it, our own lack of love for the word, and our busyness of schedule are probably the biggest obstacles that help kids, yeah, or that keep kids, that don't help kids, yeah, from connecting with the word.
Yeah. And so in this wired world, you know, when every kid's got a smartphone or an iPod or something in their hand, you know, and I do have more kids now that, you know, they're carrying their Bible. I mean, gone are the days that you can do the old sword drills, you know, because it's kind of hard when half the kids have digital Bibles in their hand, because that's kind of cheating. But so, you know, you talk in the little book about maximizing your smartphone. Mm-hmm. So what can we do to leverage tech to get kids into the word? What kind of suggestions do you have for that? That kind of intrigued me.
Well, I think in that, you know, in that particular chapter in this particular book, when I'm talking about leveraging the smartphone, I'm talking about when you've got some older kids who've got their phones and you can just occasionally send them an encouraging text that just says, you know, hey, I want you to live the rest of the day knowing that you are a loved, redeemed child of the King, right? And put a scripture reference in there that just kind of reminds them that, hey, this is who you are and this is where that came from. And, you know, and not overdoing that one for sure, but as they, that's one way that, because technology is how they have their normal conversations, you know, I've referenced several times in this podcast, the idea of weaving it into normal conversations. Well, one of the ways they're having normal conversations is through texting and Instagram and Snapchat and, you know, whatever. And so do we ever use those tools to send them something? If you Snapchat with your kids all the time, then occasionally take a picture of a page of your Bible.
Ooh, yeah.
And, you know, and draw a little circle around it and say, hey, I read this and thought of you, whatever. Yeah. So I think that some of that, but then also there are so many kind of age appropriate scripture and Bible, both games and apps and different things on your computer and on your phone, whether it be the technology things like a game like the Etherlight or something, or whether it be, you know, the Superbook app, or whether it be the YouVersion Bible for Kids, uh-huh, app that tells some of those animated Bible stories. If you've got little kids, I think I've just started showing my 12-year-old son. There's an app that, if you've heard of the Bible Project, that they do some of those kind of hand-drawn summaries of books of the Bible and stuff. Well, they've partnered up with Crazy Love Ministries, which is Francis Chan's deal. Uh-huh. And they put out an app just last month called Read Scripture. So it's on, you know, it's on iOS and Android right now. That is a Bible reading plan that goes through the whole narrative of Scripture and weaves in a psalm and walks through kind of Genesis through. It's getting you into the full kind of big God story, the narrative of it. But then it's got those videos embedded into the app. So when you get to the beginning of Deuteronomy, you take 7-8 minutes, watch this video, and you get this big picture overview of the whole book before you start kind of reading through. And it's set up so you can just kind of check off the day. And it's, they say it's about, you know, if you do about 15 or 20 minutes a day, that you'll end up reading the whole Bible in like 9 months. So I just really encourage people, rather than getting into the checkoff mode, I just encourage people to set aside 20 or 30 minutes and just see how many days you get through. And then you'll kind of always be ahead. I mean, like you've heard me talk about, you mentioned at the very beginning of this, my annual Bible read through.
Yeah.
And that book actually just came out last month also, my rapid Bible read through book that I've been saying I'm going to write for the last 7 years. so that finally came out last month. But that's really, I spend the first 4 months of the year every year reading through the Bible. And that sounds like a lot. And it may be a little bit more than you're normally doing, but it's really, to read through the entire Bible in 4 months only takes about 40 to 45 minutes a day.
Right.
So it might be more than what somebody's doing now if they're used to just kind of reading a 15 to 20 minute devotional or something like that. But it's not insurmountable. It's not like you have to devote 2 hours a day. And the concept of the rapid Bible read through is really the anytime 6 months or less, which if you read the Bible for 30 minutes, you'll walk through the whole Bible easily in 6 months.
Yeah.
And I think that a big thing is that we just don't read the Bible through fast enough. So kind of back to the technology piece, you know, there are some different reading plans, whether it be within the YouVersion app or whether it be this Read Scripture app, which I think is one of the best apps I've seen in a long, long time for Bible engagement. Mm-hmm. But my encouragement is always to use those as a guide for the order in which to read things, not for what to do each day. Because we will very, very quickly get into a, I need to check this box for the day mentality.
Right.
And that never leads to a relational mindset. So I always, always encourage people, even if you can only devote 20 minutes, if you can devote 45 minutes, okay. But if you devote 20 or 30 minutes, 25 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, you'll always read more than the daily reading. And so I just say, just check off. And then you'll also always be ahead. You won't do that. Oh, I fell behind. I got the flu for 3 days and didn't get to read. And so now I've got to figure out a time to spend 2 hours and catch up on I'm behind on 4 days of reading.
Yeah.
Well, even to say the sentence, I'm behind 4 days of reading, is not a relational sentence. It's an informational sentence.
You're right. And you know, when I did your program, I think it was last year when I was doing it, I noticed because people were talking on Facebook with it, and I even felt that, and I thought, you know, man, I really got to break that habit, because you're right, it shouldn't be a check off the box. It should be just like I was admonishing the kids, but yet I still have to battle that mentality.
Absolutely.
You know, and you're right. I mean, I guess it was pounded into me. You should read the Bible. You should read the Bible. If you love Jesus, you will read the Bible.
Of course.
And I was, you know, and then there's always the quizzes. And so you wanted the facts. And, and so I think one of the tips that you gave, in your reading thing was reading it out loud. And I think that's the one thing that has stuck with me the most. Is that it's a new discipline that I've been doing it for a while now, that I've been reading to myself, and man, it really has brought it to life more for me as I hear myself. My wife likes to listen. She'll do her YouVersion in the morning, and I'll hear it. As she's in the bathroom, she has it audibly because she likes to hear the word read to her. And I'm like, you know, I like to hear it myself. And so I want to wrap this up with, give some encouragement to our kid ministry workers, people that you can relate to. What's one good tip? I mean, like I said, that for me was one of the best for me, but what's something that you feel like would inspire, encourage a person that maybe as a leader, if we're going to model this, we need to start, you know, putting the word into our life in a relational way. So what can we do? What's a great tip? What's maybe your top one or two that you always share?
Well, I mean, the top one is what I've said over and over again, which is this relational Bible study piece. And so there's a mindset of take a couple seconds at the beginning of your Bible reading to kind of check yourself on why you're doing it, and have that even short little conversation with God of, God, what do you want to do today? If you want to teach me something, okay. But if you just want me to enjoy the read, I'm good with that. That's not wasted time. So I think that the relational Bible study mindset, and then from a practical standpoint, the idea of reading more, and I'm not just talking about more frequently, I'm just not just talking about more consistently, but I'm talking about when you actually sit down to read. If it's a book of the Bible that is, you know, six chapters or less, then you can probably read it in about, out loud at a normal rate of speed in about 20 minutes. You know, to read Ephesians, which is six chapters, takes about 17 or 18 minutes. So read it in one sitting and take that and just soak in it and just read it and read it and read it. And then, and if you're reading a longer book, then break it up into time. And so I tell, you know, I was raised chapter a day. I was raised, somebody along the age of 12 or something like that told me I was supposed to read a chapter a day.
Yeah.
Well, if you take the Gospel of John and you read a chapter a day, it's 21 chapters. It's going to take you 3 weeks if you never miss a day. But if you just shift your mindset and say, I'm going to sit down and read for 20 minutes, you'll read the whole Gospel of John in less than a week because it takes just under 2 hours. You'll read it in 5 or 6 days. If you just say, I'm going to read for 20 minutes, and when I get to 20 minutes, I'm going to put a bookmark in it, you know, after I finish the chapter, and then I'll pick up where I left off. And just kind of putting that into, hey, I'm just reading this and seeing what conversations God and I have. And then after you've done that a bit, then going back and kind of, as I alluded to at the beginning of the, to use the analogy from the beginning of this conversation, then go and study the scenes. You know, if I've seen a movie 2 or 3 times, then having an in-depth conversation about one scene is actually pretty fun.
Right.
But if I've never seen a movie and you just show me a scene, then my study of that is very academic, very informational. And so I would say read relationally and put the way in which you study in the right order, which is from the general to the specific. And that will help shift both your memory and your enjoyment of Scripture. And when you start enjoying Scripture more, you will talk about it with kids differently.
Yeah.
Anything that you love, you talk about differently than things that you just think are good for you.
Very true.
Those would be my tips.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great way to end. So Keith, how can people learn more about you? You've got a great website. Why don't you share that with us, and what's a good way to contact or connect up with you?
Yeah, well, the easiest way is to go to my blog, which is keithferrin.com. And my last name is spelled F-E-R-R-I-N, keithferrin.com. And they can also search at Keith Ferrin on any of the social media. So I'm at Keith Ferrin on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. They can find me there. So those are definitely the places where we could connect. If the whole concept of relational Bible study really resonates with somebody, I have put together a couple of years ago, I hired a team of people to put together an 8-part video series that was kind of shot on fun locations, one while I was climbing a mountain and one while I was sitting at a park and one in my kitchen eating ice cream. But if you go to relationalbiblestudy.com, there are ways that both an individual and a church or small group or something like that would be able to walk through those. That teaches my whole process for how I study a book of the Bible and weave internalization into that and make sure that a relational mindset stays front and center the whole time. So relationalbiblestudy.com is where you'll find that.
Awesome. Well, I want to encourage everybody listening to the podcast to take a look. He's got some great things to offer on his blog and some great information. And so Keith, thanks for sharing your passion with us. I hope that people will really learn to fall in love with God's word all over again and inspire the next generations to do the same thing. Help change the world a little bit, don't you think?
So, yeah, let's do it.
So thanks again for being on the podcast with me.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.